Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Awesome. So before I give an intro, I think let's read the verses. And then you have a better picture of when I give an introduction, what it is about. So it's 2 Timothy 1, from verse 8 to 10. You can read with me. We'll give the intro and we'll read again. But it starts like this. Before this, you all remembered we had Paul saying to Timothy, I encourage you, and we have not received the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And therefore, do not be ashamed. Okay, because of we have not received the Holy Spirit in us, it's not a spirit of fear, but he's bold and he's keen and wants to and he's willing to share the gospel and he's not scared of us sharing the testimony of our Lord. Okay, so that's the context. So it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Beautiful. Three verses. Like I said, for those who were maybe not here last week, so we shared a bit on being ashamed of the gospel. You know, being scared to share the gospel, being scared, being timid to share the truth of the word of God with other people. Amen. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I know that I'm a prisoner. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. And I know that I'm in prison because I shared about Jesus. And as well, I know I'm going to die, but you don't stop. Which is quite challenging. Even for us, we won't actually have an idea what this feels like. Maybe we get persecuted in a sense at work, you're the odd guy, or maybe you lose your job. But there's no way at this stage in South Africa that you are going to die because of your faith. Okay, so we need to understand the bigness of what Paul is saying. Okay, get our heads around it. It's really shifting our minds. And there will be persecution if we share this with people. Maybe not in a big sense like this, but there will be people, there will be family pushing you away. There will be people saying, are you crazy? You cannot do this. That doesn't make sense. And you feel maybe that this is what obedience looks like. This is what I need to do. Then that is what you need to do. Amen. Not our will, but your will. Okay, we remember that. The only rule in Satanism is do what you want. So literally, if you rule yourself, you're very far from Christianity. Okay, so we say, Jesus, your will, what you want us to do. And it is always the best to follow Jesus. It's always the best, even to following blindly and blindfolded, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. And just a simple example, if you have to quit your job or do something drastic, you know, please get community to pray with you and to confirm that. But if that is what God is saying, then that is what you need to do. Amen. It's always best to be obedient. And there will be people saying you are crazy. And the gospel to say, you cannot do your own will. You cannot keep on doing your own will. You need to now submit to Jesus and his will. It's unattractive. Man, it's not something people like to hear. It's not, yes, that sounds great. Amen. Because we like to do what we want. And we see in Galatians, the Bible clearly speaking about spirit over the flesh. And we have fleshly desires that makes us sin, that makes us love all things of the world. Okay, so it's unattractive to say now, you need to stop. So when you share the truth, You can somehow expect persecution. You can expect people to push you away. We see this in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, which says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. Okay. But it's worth it. Amen. We are headed for the eternal life. And that's what we'll focus on today. It's this beautiful verse of Jesus coming, manifesting this beauty, overcoming death. Wow. Now we can look forward to that. Okay, so that was verse 8. Verse 9 and 10 we'll focus on today. And it speaks, Paul gives us the reasons why we can now endure suffering and why we should not be ashamed. He says, firstly, you are saved and called to a holy calling. That's verse 9. And then after that, because of his own purpose and grace, and then verses 10 says this beautiful verse that shows us that Jesus came. Yeah? Sorry, don't worry about what's on the board. But Jesus came. He manifests this, what we should not be ashamed of. He was persecuted. He died on the cross. He endured suffering. He's the way. We look at him. Amen? So verse 9 says, we are saved and we are called. And on that topic, we also sang a lot about our calling this morning. If we see this verse that says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, what do you think that means for you? What do you think does it mean if we think of your calling? Maybe just take a second and think about your calling and what this verse is encouraging you to do if it says you are saved and called. And I want to break it up into two things, because initially we tend to think about our specific callings. You know, I am specifically called to lead worship. Yeah, that is good. But not everyone is. But we, every one of us, have a calling. Agreed? But there's also a general calling, which we are all called for. A holy calling. To a holy calling. What is that? And we'll speak about it. But in essence and in short, it is to be more like Jesus and to do more like Jesus and do the things Jesus would do. And in this context of not being ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus be doing? He would be sharing the gospel with the lost, and he would be discipling the saved. Amen? Holy calling. So evangelizing and discipling. And just there where you are, I want you to maybe just think about who, and think of a name, who are you evangelizing? Who is God calling you to share the truth in a sense of the lost? Who do you need to share the gospel with? Who is God laying on your heart at this stage of your life? Because there will always be someone. And then, secondly, who are you discipling? Who are you that are already saved? Who are you discipling in doing the things of Jesus? Just to think about that, it is very important. Jesus was constantly reaching the lost, discipling the saved. Reaching the lost, discipling the saved. And we see in James 1, in Romans 5, that these trials and tribulations and tough times, it produces steadfastness. It produces character. And this is what we want. This is what the holy calling refers to character. To sanctification, the nice Christianese word. Nay? Sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, we are called, it is God's will, to be sanctified. Nay? For us to grow in our sanctification. Amen. And this is beautiful of our religion. We are the only, religion doing a lot of things, but hopefully, but we are the only religion our Savior can actually can sympathize with us. In other religions, if bad things happen, it's karma, or it's the universe being angry at you, or God being angry at you. With us, it's something that stirs us. It says, rejoice. because that produces character. And God is more interested in our character than in our comfort. Growing our character than in our comfort. That's amazing. And that will mean that we may endure suffering and trials and tribulations, but praise the Lord, we're headed for eternal life. That's how much He loves us. Okay, and it's a mind shift. It's different than other religions. We see in Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Beautiful. He says, during these times, I will be with you and I can sympathize with you. Truly unique of the Christian faith. Amazing, amazing. That changes everything. Okay, so let's read these verses again and then we'll back out what it says. It starts with Paul saying to Timothy, do not be ashamed. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering. Actually inviting Timothy to suffering. Share in suffering. For the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this is why we shouldn't be shy, because check, Jesus has come. He manifested all these things. And we shouldn't be easily intimidated or push back or give people a cheap gospel, saying, okay, you are only saved by grace, so, sharing a half-truth. We should share the full gospel. And that's what we're going to do today. So when you listen today and you feel like, okay, that's something that I have in my heart and I support it, remember these things, because you need to share it with someone else. Okay, write these things down. We will go through the gospel today. That is what Paul is saying. He's saying, remember this, you can suffer, you don't have to be ashamed because of the gospel, because of Jesus that came for us. So let's unpack it. Let's start from verse 9. It starts with who saved us and called us. And let's unpack everything. What does saved mean? To think about, maybe it's obvious to you, but maybe it's not. But you may feel like, well, I'm not drowning, what do I need to be saved from? And that's the first thing. We all have a problem, a big problem. It says the wages of sin is death. Yeah, we all need to be saved. It says that you are deceived if you say that you do not have sin in John. We all have sin and we fall short of the glory of God. We need a savior. We need someone to pay our speeding ticket. Otherwise we go to jail. Okay, we go to hell. We have a problem. That's the first part of the gospel. We need to understand that we have an issue. If someone thinks that they do not have an issue, why would they need a savior? Okay, it's really important. We see right through scripture this is very consequent, and we need a savior. We fall short of the glory of God. R.C. Sproul says we need to be saved by God, from God, from his judgment, from his wrath, from eternal death. But we are saved by this amazing grace before the world began. Wow, that's amazing. This is amazing grace. Yeah? And Paul is not guilt-tripping Timothy, saying, you must be better. Why are you so ashamed of everything? No, he's saying, remember the gospel. This is amazing grace. Remember what Jesus did for you. And as you are sitting there, I wanna actually ask you, what did Jesus save you from? Can you say, wow, if I remember Jesus, that changes the way I live? I'm going to give us a few reasons today why it changes the way we think. But it is important. We see this, Timothy being shy. Why? I always use this example of when you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you're madly in love, what do? You buy each other flowers and chocolates and things. Why? You do things for them, eh? Because you love them. If you love God and you remember Jesus and his work on the cross, you will do good things. You will not be ashamed. So it manifested in Timothy's life as being ashamed, as being timid. But how does it manifest in your life? And do you remember the gospel? Do you remember Jesus? We are saved and we need a savior. That's the first part. Then we are called. And it says who saved us and called us. You cannot be saved and not called. Okay, it would be nice because then you can just sit on the couch. No, it's great. We are saved because we are called. And we are called to do something. We are called for a holy calling. Amazing. What is a holy calling? Where is he calling us to? To holiness. To make sense. To obedience. To be more like Jesus. To do more like Jesus. Amen. And I want to ask you this morning, this is probably the most important question this morning, is where is God calling you? Where are you feeling you are obedient? Maybe there's an area in your life where you struggle to be obedient to. God is calling you. He's calling you to go to him. To say, God, help me. I need you. I need to remember you. And it's by his mercy that he remembers us. Saved us and called us. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. So if we only teach people that we are saved by grace, what will we get? We will get lukewarm Christians. They who are uneducated. And they will live as the devil lives because we are already saved. Amen. Not understanding before God calls us to heaven, God calls us to holiness. Before God calls us to heaven, God calls us to holiness. Really important. No one is going to heaven who does not live a holy life. Okay, it does not mean a perfect life. Don't get me wrong. We just said they sin and we all sin. But if we don't have turn back to Jesus after sin, wanting a relationship with him, growing in our faith, we must ask ourselves, are we truly saved? If we still struggle with the same sin the day we were saved, you must ask yourself, are you growing? Are you truly saved? And I will back this with some scripture. Jesus says, not anyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who does the will of my Father. Not my will, but his will, the Father's will. And we all know this beautiful verse, John 3:16, which is a beautiful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And then 20 verses later, John says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. And to ask this question, do we truly believe? Because if we truly believe, our lives will reflect that. Okay, James says it, a lot of places in the Bible that says it, but faith without works are dead. But we are not saved by our works, but through the one, but having faith in Jesus who manifested the way we should live. This is the birthmark to anyone who has been truly born again, a pursuit to holiness. And do you have a pursuit to holiness? Are you pursuing holiness in your life? It's important questions. We need to be really honest with yourself, otherwise you deceive yourself. Okay? But remember, write these things down and remember these things, because you need to share this with someone else. Okay. It's really important. And this sounds like doctrine, right? Like strong doctrine. Why are you telling us doctrine? Because Paul is busy explaining to Timothy the basics again. He's giving him a big dose of doctrine, saying, you need to remember these things, Timothy. We need to go deep in the truth of theology to become deep, loving Christians. You need to remember the basics, because you forgot it. You forgot your first love, as the Bible says. We forget our first love. And we need to come to the party. Okay, and then it says, not because of our works. And we all know this. No? We all know that we are not going to heaven because of our works. And in other religions, we see this. People need to do. No? They need to do all kinds of things. In our religion, Jesus has already done. And through faith in that he has already done it, we can inherit eternal life. That is not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. And I'm going to briefly discuss, but this is God's all-wise, sovereign plan. Predetermined plan. Before the ages began, he chose Timothy. He chose you. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. He predestined us. He created you very specifically. But also he gave us a choice. We're not preaching a hard Calvinism here. He gave us a choice. We can go out of his hand. We can choose him. You need to choose him. He's the one that saves us before the ages began. We need to choose the Lord. I mean, think. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Think about what God has done in your life. Remember this again. How can you forget? You are called, born to do this. You don't deserve it, but you are called to do it. God has chosen you to be the bride of Christ. And this should liberate us to be very bold for the gospel. Amen. And not to paralyze us to be scared. Okay, and that brings us to the first point. Remember the calling God has for you. He's predestined. He's called you to a holy calling. To be holy firstly to be holy. Then to go out and share the gospel. Okay. Okay, then we look at verse 10. It says, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This which now, the beginning, is referring to everything we spoke about. Now, this holy calling, do not be ashamed. This has now been manifested by this amazing person, our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we struggle, we look at him. Now, when we think about, okay, how should I do this? We look at him. We want to be more like him. We want to do things more like him. Okay, this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Remember Jesus, you know him. Why did you forget? He's literally abolished death. He showed us this beautiful example of a holy calling. He is the way, he is the truth and the life. And in context of not being ashamed, what did he do? He came and overcame death. He abolished death and brought life and immortality. We'll unpack it a bit later, but what does this mean? This means that there's no ending to our lives. He abolished it. We just keep on living. Yes, there's one long life and one death somewhere in the middle. But we are continuing living, and that's why he says, why, Timothy, are you being ashamed if we have... What is your life, man? Literally asking, Jesus abolished death. Why are you scared? You should rejoice in suffering. This is the context. And this brings us to point number two. Remember the greatness of the gospel. We should remind ourselves and remember the greatness of the gospel. We forget our first love. We forget and we grab hold of this life. We create idols for ourselves that does not lead to peace and joy. We forget. Or we understand the gospel wrongly, maybe. But I want to ask you this. What is your life without Jesus? What is valuable in your life without Jesus? Maybe think of the ultimate goal you have in life. The best thing. I don't know what goals you have for yourself, but let's say you reach that and 10 times that, and you do not have Jesus. What is it? What is it worth? If you do not know Jesus in the end, it means eternal death. It means hell. Do we truly think like that? It's a mind shift. We need to constantly say to ourselves, what is this life? We do not even know what tomorrow will bring. We can die tomorrow. But Jesus, you came and you did an eternal work. We believe in that. We are following that. That is what it means when it says he abolished death and brought life. MacArthur says it well. It says it is not death that no longer exists. We are going to die, physically. We are not going to escape from it, but death is no longer a threat. It is no longer the end. We see it right throughout Scripture. Death, where is your sting? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Philippians 1, where Paul says, for me to gain, it's to die is gain. I'm like, what? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It is simply putting off our temporary tents, heading to our eternal home. Beautiful, isn't it? And can you make that mind shift today? We do not live for ourselves, but we live for Him. Not for my glory, but for His glory. And we've heard these things a lot. When I say it, it sounds familiar. But now it makes sense. Not my will, but His will. Not my glory, but His glory. His kingdom. Because He gave us the eternal life. And I want to share this story again of the parable of the lost sons in Luke 15. I'll briefly explain it if you forgot it, maybe. But there's this young son, this younger son, who literally says to his father, I want your inheritance and I want it now. He's basically saying to his father, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. Just give me my money. I want to go. And then he goes and squanders that money. And you see the older son, when that younger son came back, he's also angry at the father. He's like, that son of yours, you never have you given me a little goat to share with my friends. I've always obeyed you. I worked in the fields for you. So we get two sides of the story. Then the father then saying to that son, what's mine is yours. And that is what God is saying to us. I just want you in my house. And there's two sides of the story where we can either be rebellious, often when we miss the gospel, when we forget God's goodness, we tend to get rebellious, like the younger son, saying, yeah, God, you're not giving me what I want. I want your things, but I don't want you. I want to take your things and I want to go. And we get this rebellious spirit. And then on the other side, we get a religious spirit where we want to do a lot of good things for God. Amen. And then we also want His stuff because we do all these things. But then that is when we have too much value. We put too much value to this life because we want the things of God and we want it now. And then we get rebellious or religious. And maybe there's areas in your life where you feel like, yeah, God is not coming through. He's not giving me what I want. And in a sense, you will either become rebellious or religious. But I want to say today, this is the beauty of the gospel. Jesus is saying, I already did the work. Don't worry about this life. Just come to me. And the Father is inviting you. He's calling. He's calling us to the cross, to holiness. He's calling us to him. He wants you to go and sit in his house. So I want to ask you this morning, where is God calling you to? In what area of your life is God asking you to be obedient? Don't worry. Do not be anxious. I will provide for you. You just come to me. You just be obedient to what I say. That is what faith looks like. We cannot see, but we just go. Blindfolded, we follow Jesus because he knows best. Amen. And are you witnessing for Jesus? Are you busy discipling others? Are you busy evangelizing the lost? Are you busy discipling the saved? Where is God calling you to do those things? And remember, before God calls us to heaven, he calls us to holiness. He calls you to holiness. Where does he want you to be obedient to? So I want you to just look at these two prayer points we have at the end, and we'll just pray through this and speak about it. Say, this is what I struggle with. This is what God is leading me to. Pray with me for this. And secondly, thank God for sending his son and sacrificing his only son. Remember the beauty of the gospel. And remember that if we tend to value this life too much, it will always end in vain, less joy, less peace.